Hi, this is Mark Cuniberti. You're about to listen to another edition of our award-winning economic show entitled Money Matters. The information given on this show is obtained from a variety of public sources and is deemed accurate at time of airing but is not guaranteed. This show is pre-recorded at an earlier date, so market indices and related stock market references may not be accurate at time of airing, and we will not be taking any listener call-ins. Thanks again for listening. Now enjoy the show.
Welcome to another edition of Your Money Matters, the 241st edition on your community radio station. My name's Mark Cuniberti. Today's show is entitled, Now to the Donald. Be advised, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. The views expressed are my opinions only and the opinions of the authors of any articles I may read. They do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge, this station, its staff, members, or underwriters. This show is about money, as money does matter, and the matters of money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet, and some way or another controls the very way that we and you live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, Money Matters is all about you. So good afternoon. The Donald. Man, was that a surprise? Holy macro, took me by surprise. I was in Nevada at the time. I was in Nevada taking a licensing test from the state of California. Oh, I called the state of California. I needed to take this insurance test. And they said, well, we only give it the day after Thanksgiving. I said, what? Yeah. The test center only gave it to the day after Thanksgiving. I said, I'm not going to take a very complicated, long, two-hour test the day after Thanksgiving. Are you kidding me? I'll be burping up turkey and red wine. So they said, well, you can take it in Reno. I said, oh, when? And they said, 8th of November. I think, yeah, it was election day. So I had a trip scheduled out to the Midwest, so I tied them together. Flying out of Reno was okay. So I tied them together, got over the hill, no problems, a little worried about snow, got through that, a little trouble there, and took the test, and zipped off, and I was really bowled over. I couldn't believe it. You know, I guess there were a lot of closet Trump voters, I guess. I mean, all the polls. There was a USCLA tracking poll that actually had him up. And there was another poll that I never saw, but they had him up as well. And this particular poll did have him up by quite a few points. And when asked why this particular, the USC tracking poll and this other poll, I don't remember the name of it, had reasons why they had Trump up. USC tracking poll, from what I read, tracked the same people throughout the poll versus all the other polls just called people. So they tracked the same people, and what they did is they actually monitored the amount of people that were changing. The other poll had an interesting take on the election. I guess they had a feeling that there were going to be a lot of closet Trump voters. You know, there's a lot of animosity toward people that voted for Trump. At least I saw a lot. And they decided to skew the question. They didn't ask if you were going to vote for Trump. They asked who your neighbor was going to vote for. And that basically relieved, in my opinion, the onus that you were going to do it and put it on your neighbor. And that poll, and I thought that was a very interesting way to do that, you know, ask what your neighbor was going to do, because that way people could tell who they wanted without saying, it's me who's voted for him. So, I'm not going to tell you who I voted for. It's not important, and it's political, and I'm not a political show. This is not a political show. It's a money show. So, needless to say, I was surprised, very surprised. I mean, I couldn't believe it, really. I was like, unbelievable. Concerned, but I was going to be concerned about whoever was elected, so I was concerned. And then, you know, I checked the futures market as the states turned red to Trump, and I was laughing for literally 15 minutes. Seriously, I was really laughing because the Dow futures, which show you what the Dow is going to open up the next day, maybe, it's about a bunch of people that trade overnight, you know, showed down 500, which is significant. And then I was watching, it was down 600, 700, 800. I think I read it went down 900, but it was limit down. In other words, they stop it at a certain percentage. They don't post any more negative numbers. So I don't know how far it would have went, but they limit down, I think it's 5%. So I saw 7 something. I never saw the 900, but I read it was down 900. And I was laughing, and then I looked over at gold, and gold was up 50, 60 bucks. And I was talking to my dad, and I said, you know, the world's going to come apart tomorrow, you know? And then I also thought the feds would be in there buying the market with their plunge protection team established by Reagan after the 87 crash. Whether that happens or not is only rumor. But there is a rumor that they buy the market. And so I thought, well, you know, the feds are not going to let this thing open up down 3,000 points. And lo and behold, you know, I stayed up till midnight till they called it, and they didn't call it, so I just said, heck with this, I went to bed. And I popped up at 4 a.m. thinking, I wonder who won. And so, which was a curse because I only got a couple hours of sleep. Popped up, turned it on, and there he was. And I said, I can't believe it, I can't believe it. Put a call over to my dad. I said, can you believe this? Unbelievable. And so the futures were totally inaccurate. The market ended up and ran, you know, and gold ended down and fell. So I don't know what was going on. You know, I looked at it, and, you know, I always mentioned to you that the Dow, these big numbers, the 18,000, 19,000, 17,000, are support and resistance levels. They're important numbers. And, you know, the Dow does not go through these large numbers lightly. You know, it takes a while to bust through these large numbers. And, you know, previous show, it was, you know, we were flirting with 18,000. We actually broke below that, and so that was a significant, you know, move below 18,000. And, you know, Trump got in there, and this market just smoked higher. I mean, it smoked higher almost to 19,000. It sits at 18,881, so it is down, you know, 100 points since its all-time high. But it reached an all-time high. Unbelievable. And gold, meanwhile, which had been rallying, started to fall, and in the next couple of days fell pretty hard. And the Dow, you know, seems to have gone up these 900 points in a heartbeat. And as mentioned on previous shows, and approved for me to tell you, you know, we were neutral to negative since about June in the portfolios that I handled. And basically because I didn't know what was going to go on, so I said, okay, we're going to stand aside and go mostly conservative and do things that way. And, you know, it was interesting. And during this run, I mean, this run was, we saw a very fast transfer of assets. to different classes. I mean, the reallocation, the movement between assets was really, in my opinion, was stunning. I mean, we just saw people jumping out of stuff and jumping into stuff. You know, I guess my opinion is the market now perceived the more conservative economic stance and that interest rates would be allowed to rise. And so that day, as soon as Trump was elected that day, we saw fixed income investments, which are generally regarded more stable, less volatile than stocks. We saw those markets start to fall hard, very, very rapidly and surprisingly to me. And we saw certain groups of stocks run and other groups of stocks not run and fall. Tobacco, for instance, tobacco has, you know, in January when we had that huge sell-off, tobacco actually ran. And tobacco fell. And we saw other equities, some food companies fell. And a lot of, you know, surprisingly to me, a lot of stocks took off, infrastructure took off, and some other stocks took off. But technology got hammered badly, probably because of the, you know, the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and Trump saying that he's going to, you know, put in limit imports and tariffs and all these things. And I guess investors figured that companies that rely on a lot of overseas sales would see, you know, trade barriers erected and trade wars. And so they sold off. And so that, you know, you could say the Dow ran, but I saw portfolio bounce, portfolio values, fictitional portfolios and indeed ours, you know, go all over the place. I mean, just because the Dow ran, I didn't see any portfolios really run commensurate with the Dow because the mixture of things falling fast and things rising fast were just incredible. Defense stocks rose very fast, and it was really quite something to see, the reallocation of assets. Now realize, just because an asset runs doesn't mean it'll continue to run. So by no stretch of the means am I saying that defense stocks and infrastructure stocks are where you should be or we should not be. Okay, I'm not saying you should be anywhere or not be anywhere. Let me make that clear. I'm just observing what happened. And it was, you know, it was very interesting to me. The whole thing was very interesting. It makes sense what I saw on most asset classes, although it was a little bit surprising, makes sense. And, you know, it looks like this reallocation of where money was going has now settled down a little bit. You know, it was reaction. Things went up and things went down, and it was just all over the board. So it looks like things are starting to settle down a little bit, and I would imagine that, you know, as he comes out and says more things of what he's going to do and backpedal on some other things he said he was going to do, I would imagine that the market's got to digest this thing, you know. And so our basic stance now was to, you know, remove our negative stance. And I'm not saying for you to do that. I'm just saying that that's kind of what we did. And we, you know, went into certain asset classes that we think will possibly benefit from this new administration. But it, you know, it's difficult calling this thing, you know, and if this volatility makes you nervous, you know, we all know that if you go to, you know, a heavier cash position, you won't see so many wild swings in your portfolio. And so people looking to be more conservative might consider that, you know, cash doesn't move really. I mean, it is a strategic holding. Cash is a strategic holding. It's not a neutral holding. You know, cash is not neutral. It is strategic. There are times to be in cash and times not to be. And like I've always said on this show, you know, there's times to own an asset and times not to. And so, you know, it was very interesting, very interesting. And so it looks like things are starting to settle. Market has not backed down much. I think it's only down 100 since its high. I don't know, 18,881 today as we sit on Thursday. You may be hearing this show at a different time, so the indices I give you may not be accurate at this time. But, yeah, I got to say, you know, it was interesting. It was interesting. We do have an event coming up that I'm still a little wary of, and that is the Federal Reserve meeting in December. Now, they've had one increase in 6 years, I believe, and that was last December. And when that happened, of course, the next thing we knew, January hit and the market sold off radically. So I don't know whether the market will sell off again radically if the feds decide to raise interest rates in December. We don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody really knows. I mean, I did say in the newsletter, then you can get the newsletter a grata, and we don't spam the emails, and it's our way of saying thank you for listening to this station. You can get it a grata, moneymanagementradio.com. There's no fees or charges or anything. Moneymanagementradio.com, you can get the newsletter there. And we said that, put out a couple of articles in local news and other places that basically said, you don't know what the market's going to do. Nobody knows what the market's going to do. And the only thing I was sure of is it was going to do something that nobody expected. And it did. I mean, down 700, 800 the night before, and then up the next day, and up 800 points in the following 3-4 days. I mean, it was truly, you know, interesting, for to say the least. And so it hasn't really backed down much. You know, it's maintained its stance. It's digesting its tremendous run here. And so, you know, we don't know. What's going to happen? Really don't know. It's just crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. So if your portfolio has moved radically up, down, whatever, you know, the common belief is don't panic. Don't ever panic out. You know, have a percentage downside where you look at in case you, you know, lose too much money. Consider getting out or what have you. You know, have your strategy in place and stick to it. But, yeah, it's just extremely interesting, this whole thing. So I am a little wary about the upcoming Fed meeting, whether they're going to raise interest rates or not. You know, the Fed is threatening to. If they do, I think it's going to be minimal. Nobody knows for sure. It could be 0.25%, 0.5%, 1/3%. I don't think they're going to do anything radical myself. But again, that's only opinions. So, yeah, we're watching it. You know, we're watching it. Somebody had commented that I hadn't put out a newsletter since October 10th. And I didn't realize that I hadn't, you know. I thought I did. I'm looking at the last one. It was October 10th, and somebody said, what are you doing? Why aren't you putting it out? Tell you the truth, I've just been real busy, and I thought I'd put one out. I don't think I'd put one out after the election. I figured I'd cover it in the show. So I will put out one this weekend and give some more updated opinions and things of this sort. The problem with putting out a newsletter real quickly is everything I put out has to be approved by the regulators, and so it does sometimes take 3 or 4 days. So if I think about putting out a newsletter, I got to run it by the regulators, and they take 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days to digest it and then come back and say, you can run it or you have to change this. I pretty much know what to say and what not to say, but I still got to put it by them or they come down on me hard and spank my hand. So it is interesting. Don't panic. You know, we're watching the markets. Watch the newsletter, listen to the show, read what other people have to people say about where the market's going and what they think it's going to do, and make your own decisions. And always, if you need help, contact an investment professional. There are many out there, for sure. And so, anyway, we'll go on with the show a little bit more. Phone number's here, 530-265-9555, 530-265-9555. That's only if you're listening to us live. Between the 12 and 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time news hour, November 17th, if you're hearing this show at another time, then you can just send over an email and I'll respond. You can always contact the program director at your station, and they will forward the email on to me. Or you can tell them what you think about the show or say you want them to forward it on to me, and they'll do that. And before we take a break, I just want to let you know that if you would like to help Feed the Poor this Thanksgiving. If you'd like to help Feed the Poor this Thanksgiving, you can visit moneymanagementradio.com, and there's information there on how to do that. So my name is Mark. This is Money Matters, of course, and we will be right back in just a minute. SRV, Stevie Ray Vaughan, right here on Money Matters. My name's Mark Cunha. Thanks for joining me to the Donald. Yeah, go figure that one out, huh? Wow. Will wonders never cease? So, yeah. Wow. Unbelievable. How many days we have? January 20th? Is that Inauguration Day? I think that is. Because, yeah, I think I remember that is. Do they hold it on a weekend if it's a weekend? I don't remember. And here's an excerpt from something that I read on the last show. And so you could see how close I called this. Let's see here. With pre-election fireworks. Now, this is, I aired this prior to the election. And you'll notice what I say here. Pre-election fireworks not failing to disappoint as usual during election periods. The markets apparently don't know which way to turn, having been market neutral and market negative in our portfolios, meaning our stance is one in line with the market going nowhere, or perhaps even going down, and being that way since June. We, like the rest of the world, are wondering where the markets may go once the new president is sworn in. With a Hillary win now looking more likely since the Donald was talking locker room. Well, I guess I was wrong there. Prognosticators are forecasting Hillary shoe-in. And then I said, of course, the election, like the market, loves fooling most of the people most of the time, and calling elections like calling markets is a fool's game, even for me. One can only guess once again as to what president will cause the markets to either rise or fall after all the handles are pulled. Well, the handles are pulled. With the big banks covering both sides of the aisle, like they always do, by donating to both candidates. Majority of analysts agree a Hillary win means the same old for the Wall Street. That being the case, a Hillary win, if prognosticators are correct, and they weren't, and they often are not, I said, the market should move higher. With the wild card being the Donald and no one knowing exactly just what this person would do, the general impression is if the Donald is elected, Wall Street might run for cover due to the uncertainty. No, they did the night before. Although Donald is definitely a one percenter and understands corporate America 100 times better than Hillary, we don't know how predictable this unpredictable man will be if sworn in. Don't bet on any of this, however, I said, as markets rarely do what the majority expect them to do. The markets could react in an exact opposite direction than expected when one of these folks takes to the Oval Office, and no matter which way it goes, neither direction will surprise at least this analyst. Well, I am surprised. I am surprised, so I take that one back. I went on to say, I've learned a long time ago no one knows anything for certain about the markets. She is a fickle beast looking to tear you a new you-know-what at any time. The market can break the smartest investor or make the dumbest lucky son of a bee an overnight millionaire. The trick to riding it, however, is to strap yourself on tight, hold on, and prepare to be thrown off at any time. You can accomplish this by not committing too much money in any one direction, in any one industry, or on any one outcome. We will know what the markets think of our new president in due time, and it is likely won't pan out like anyone expects. That's the thing about markets. They are impossible to predict. And so there you go. They are impossible to predict. And so that's what I said prior to the election. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. I mean, I you know, the reaction of the country and all the protests was, you know, pretty amazing. I mean, I did read Pomona College was paying for transportation to let students go to protests. And then I saw on CNBC that junior high school, 7th and 8th graders were being let out in certain parts of the country to protest. That I didn't agree with. I mean, I don't agree with, you know, what does a 7th and 8th grader know except what their parents tell them? But I don't think the superintendent of whatever schools did that should have been allowed to do that. I just think that's political. I'm going to let the kids out to school because of my political beliefs. I don't think that was right. But, you know, it's really a heated reaction, a heated debate. And, you know, I made the mistake posting a comment or two on Facebook, and you know, I have a lot of friends, I guess you call them, on Facebook. Anytime I post anything, I get, you know, barraged with replies, and especially if I post anything political. And I didn't post anything that bad, but I did, and just, oh, man, they buried me. Buried me. Half positive, half negative. You know, one person, I mean, it's just, it was crazy. It was really crazy. So I don't go on Facebook much. When I do, I regret it. I do announce the shows in the newsletters and maybe a post an article from somebody else. But, you know, I don't go on Facebook because it's just crazy. You know, you get a lot of friends, you get everybody responds barraging with their opinion, and some of them are nasty and some of them are nice. I just don't do nasty. You know, I have done nasty in the past. Those who know me well, you know, it's like, you know, I could be really nasty. But I'm getting older, I'm meditating a lot and calming my nerves and trying to be reactionary. And so if somebody posts a link on there. First of all, if somebody posts a link on my Facebook account, you know what? There are Facebook people that are out there, and they're looking for high friend friends. They're looking for somebody that has 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, maximum 5,000 friends, because what they do is they befriend you. And as a radio talk show host, I usually hit okay. But I've learned, a lot of people befriend me, especially women. They'll befriend you, and then they'll post an advertisement for sunglasses on my page because they figure 3,500 people are going to see it. So I've learned over the years, if some scantily clad woman or some young woman, you know, hits me as a friend, I do not friend. I used to have somebody friend everybody for me because I just couldn't keep up. But now I do it myself, and so now... I get a, you know, young woman on there that tries to friend me. I don't friend them because I just learned that doesn't happen. If you have anybody else, I'll hit okay. But, you know. And so that's it for Facebook. So hopefully the country will calm down, come together, you know, not have this divisive you against me thing, left, right aisle, blue, red, just, you know. Chill, you know, just chill. Help the community. That would really go a long way. And let's see what happens. So there is other things happening. I've written about this and aired this before about pensions, you know, retirement pensions from companies to you, not an individual IRAs or SEP IRAs that you might manage, but when you have a pension with a company. You know, there's public and private pensions, but I'm referring to ones that are established by either companies or public entities. Public and large corporate pension plans. They're widespread. They're vast in numbers, and they hold trillions of dollars in the aggregate. They are also obviously the lifeblood and the retirement of many Americans. Public plans are ones that cover people like federal employees, state and city employees, teacher pension plans, large university systems, and there are many others. Private company plans are from large companies. They cover their vast numbers of workers. The list of pension plans is endless and varied. And I've seen estimates of over 20 million people depend on pension plans. I think it's more than that, but that's what I saw on a Martin Weiss website on his Money and Markets. But a disturbing report out from Moody's Credit Reporting Agency gave us some eye-popping estimates. I knew the estimates were high, but Moody's comes out and says, you know, there is a tremendous discrepancy between what is promised versus what these plans actually have. In other words, like so many other balance sheets these days, the shortfalls in pensions are becoming somewhat ominous. The problem lies, we think, in the zero to near zero interest rate environment that exists in our monetary world today. The Federal Reserve, and indeed many central banks, has pegged their target rates close to zero. They've been hammered down that way for about 7 years, since the lovely time we had in 2009. Now, what that means is fixed income investments stand generally not stocks, not most stocks, but fixed income investments like bonds and debt instruments and even preferred stocks, they don't really yield as much as they did, let's say, 10, 12 years ago, because they have to compete with the Fed rate. And this Fed rate at zero is, you know, historically almost as low as it goes. It's from zero or very close to zero. Due to the perceived relative safety, not completely safe, but less volatile than, let's say, publicly traded stocks, pension managers lean a lot toward fixed income products to stack their portfolios. In doing that, when interest rates drop, so do the yield on the portfolio. So when interest rates drop, you make less on your income assets. The problem is further enhanced by the way pensions figure out what they earn versus the amount of money they have to keep on hand and how they balance their books. Based on historical interest rates being much higher, you know, we don't usually go to zero and stay there for a long time. Those are emergency rates, okay? Of course, they've been there for 6-7 years now. I don't know where the emergency is, but feds think there is. The models that these pension managers use have gotten ahead of themselves. We think that pension managers have assumed that the near zero emergency rates, which is what the feds call them, we're going to be temporary, because that's what emergency means, temporary, to adjust the emergency, and then they return to normal. As a result, pension managers thought these low rates were going to disappear quick. So they assumed they're normal rates, but they always didn't. In other words, they didn't change their models. They assumed that rates would kick back up high, but of course they haven't. Now, how did this incorrect assumption hurt them, or possibly hurt them? Well, many plans still assume a return rate north of 7%. It's true. A lot of pension plans haven't adjusted their assumptions. This is the crux of the problem here. And let me tell you why assuming a low interest rate might prove negative to a pension plan. Let's say our local township here knows that X amount of employees will retire in X amount of years, needing X amount of money. Doesn't matter what X is, just assume we know a certain amount of employees are going to retire. They're going to retire in a certain amount of years ongoing, and they're going to need a certain amount of money. If they assume, and they, a lot of them have, a 7% return, and that compounds, right, it's compounding, the money that a city puts aside on a 7% return doubles in about 10 years. Doubles in 10 years. How you figure that out is to take 72 and divided by the interest rate. Okay, that's the constant there. That's how you figure out at what interest rate will your money double. Take 72 and divide it by the interest rate. So let's say they take 7%, the money will double in 10 point something years. Now, let's say the real interest rate is 1%. 1%. Okay, so they assume 7, they're getting 1. In 10 years' time, you'll find that the city's pension plan is massively underfunded by about 45%. So if you assume 7, you're only getting 1. 10 years down the line, you're going to be 45% short. If you let it run out further, you're even more short. At 1%, your money doubles in 72 years. At 10, it doubles in... At 7, it doubles in 10. The losses... What you promise to pay and what you have, or what you think you will have, the losses add up quick when you use the law of compounding. So now that the rates have remained at zero for so long, right, and they've assumed 7% return, if the pension managers decide, okay, well, it's going to stay down there for longer, and let's readjust it to interest rate at 1%, all of a sudden the models go haywire, and they look at the amount of money they thought they would earn at 7% and the amount of money they are earning at 1%, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, 10 years, we're short half, almost half. If they reassumed 1%, regulations or certain rules that govern pensions, how much money they have to put in there and how much money they will actually need, say that all of a sudden they got to come up with a lot more money. How do they do that? They don't have it. So this assumption of these low interest rates, of these higher interest rates that haven't materialized, have really, you know, set back pension plans, and the public is taking notice. Put simply, near zero interest rates have decimated assumed returns and actual returns, and therefore these liabilities for many pension plans have skyrocketed. Business Insider. Business Insider reports federal pensions are unfunded to the tune of $3.5 trillion. Trillion. Larry Adelson of Money and Markets says estate pension plans are looking at another $4 trillion in unfunded liabilities. That's $7.5 trillion. Put them by together, it's $7.5 trillion. That's about 40% of U.S. GDP. GDP is everything we sell and service. All the money taken in. 40% of U.S. GDP is what is underfunded, according to these reports. That's staggering, staggering. Zero Hedge says, well, wait a minute. There's top 25 U.S. corporation plans, pension plans, are also underfunded by at least $250 billion, $225 billion to be exact. This doesn't include all the other corporations. That's just 25 of the largest. Okay? All these other corporations, of which I don't have a figure for. You can bet if a lot of the public plans and large corporate plans, the top 25 pension plans are assuming 7% or have are very far underwater, you can probably imagine a lot of these private plans have similar shortfalls. With the stock market reaching new highs, obviously, at least temporarily, maybe temporarily, who knows? Many pension plans do hold equities, stocks. Yes, they do. So the problem may have improved a little bit, or some, if they hold stocks and stocks have gone up. But the majority of pension holdings usually is in conservative fixed income. And they don't really move with stocks. They'd move, but they don't move like stock particularly would usually. So since most of the pension plans are holding fixed income, even though the market's running, they may not participate in all this upside. That being said, the shortfalls will likely remain at ominous, and that's a great word for it, ominous levels before the problem is resolved, with many doubting that this shortfall can be resolved at all. The damage is that bad. Can you say the mother of all bailouts? You imagine? You're listening to Money Matters at your community radio station, and we'll be right back. Maybe. Yes, we'll be right back. Money, where am the money? We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. Where am the money? The skies are sunny. And you're tuned to Money Matters on your community radio station. Oh, yeah. My name is Mark. Thanks for joining me today. So, it is interesting, for sure. I'll be back first week of December. And who knows, you know? I mean, it's crazy. This is really, really crazy. Again, our way of saying thank you to listening to community radio station, Sana Grata newsletter, at moneymanagementradio.com. Grata, we don't spam you or sell your email, and you can take it. And I do apologize for those that take that newsletter, and I haven't commented since October 10th. Where did the time go? I have no idea. And so we got Thanksgiving coming up. I want to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving. And those that have helped your community through your food banks or your, you know, public radio stations like here, thank you very much. Your turkeys will taste better knowing that you've supported your communities. Weather's great, you know, weather's been great. Don't know what the drought situation is throughout the nation, but it is beautiful outside today, at least here in Nevada City, California. And Thanksgiving is, what, 6 days away? So that sounds pretty cool. We're going to see what happens in the markets. The Fed's meeting's coming up in December, so that probably will possibly, maybe, not probably, possibly affect the markets. I think the majority of expectations are that the Feds might bump interest rates a little bit, so we'll see what happens there. And of course, the rumors, only historical rumors, not based in fact. Santa Claus rally, is it coming? Nobody knows. What's going to happen in January? Nobody knows. But we have a new year coming in, new president, new administration, just, you know, a lot of stuff happening. So it's very, very interesting. Very interesting. I think we're going to see some more asset rotation, you know, see what happens there. See what happens with fixed income, gold, real estate, you know, financials. Financials are fairly strong after the election. So really, I mean, you know, in the foreign stocks, I think they were fairly weak. So it is very interesting. I think I've said that 100 times today that, you know, I was really surprised. I know that I wrote that I wasn't going to be surprised, but I was very surprised. So I don't know if I, you could say I lied, but I was wrong. I really, really didn't expect Trump to win, really. So there you go. So we can just all come together and spread the positivity, not the negativity. And maybe we can get away from this divisive. What is it? Divisive? Well, I can't speak anymore. You know, for a long time on the radio, I couldn't say economists. Because I'm used to saying economics, so I used to say economists, and then I, you know, what's a money guy can't say? Economists. Economists. See, I did it again. I don't know. Anyway, my name's Mark. You've been listening to Money Matters. This has been show, what show has this been? 241, entitled Now to the Donald. And you can listen to past shows, moneymanagementradio.com, no cost. Or your local radio station probably is a podcast. You can go there, check it out. And also, always check out your community radio station's upcoming program schedule. You're probably never aware. I think people, the only person that's aware of what's broadcasted here at KVMR is our program director. And whatever community station you're listening to this on, you know, check out the website. Because there's probably shows that you don't even know exist there. And so we have, somebody told me we have 160 broadcasters here. I'm sure your community radio station has a similar amount. It's on 24 hours. So there you go. Website for your community radio station. I'm sure they'll be glad that you hit on that. Okay, so my name is Mark. This is Money Matters, your economic forum. I want to really thank you for joining me today. And I have to remember to tell you, don't forget now, that discussions in this show should absolutely positively not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Yours truly, I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. The views expressed on Money Matters are opinions only. my opinions only, or the opinions of the authors of the articles I may have read. They do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge, this station, its staff, members, or underwriters. I want to wish you the best of Thanksgivings. God bless. Go to your family now and hang out.